You're listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation.
Well, good afternoon. This is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton greeting you again today on another Saturday afternoon. And we welcome you to our program. We've called for a lot of years, Raising the Standard. In fact, we had an anniversary, Pastor Don, not only our anniversary for 53 years of marriage, but also the 17th year of what? This radio program called Raising the Standard on July the 8th. So we're going into another year. So it's incredible. So we greet and welcome you as we always do. And Pastor Don and I, we co-pastor a church here in Stuart that we have for 21 years. And God gave us a name way back, Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. And so we're honored to be here with you. Hope you can stay tuned in for the whole hour. We're on every Saturday from 12 noon until 1. And we're here to raise the standard. We want to give you some things that will encourage you. We have all these wonderful patterns in the Bible that we can learn things today. And as they fail, well, we don't want to fail. We got the answers for how we'll be successful. Then we don't have to fail. And even Paul mentioned that in Corinthians about all the examples that we have from the first covenant to show us the things that people went through that now we can learn it. We won't go through the same things. And so I don't know about you that are listening, but I don't want to go around the mountain anymore. How about you, Pastor Dan?
No.
We want to go straight there.
No
like
way.
If Israel only obeyed God when they came out of Egypt, they could have been in the promised land about 11 days, the Bible says. Okay.
That's right.
But they disobeyed. So we don't want to be in that place. So anyway, we greet you. We welcome you. We hope you can stay tuned in for the whole program. Donna's got a couple announcements here to make, and then we're going to do a little teaching here today about another wonderful king that we have in the First Covenant that did some great things, and we'll see some great things that we can glean from today in our lives and also for the world and for our country is all revealed in all this. Amen.
Right.
So
right.
Go ahead there, Pastor Donna.
Well, I just want to mention that we have, that's just awesome. How many years? 17, you said?
17 years on the radio.
17 years
and
two anniversaries on the same time, July the 8th. Amen.
That's right.
So, wow. Well, we're blessed to be here again this Saturday. Mm-hmm. And we're also on the internet, so you can listen to us on WCNO.com. And they also have podcasts where you can go back and listen to other broadcasts as well. Praise God for that.
Amen.
So, we have in Stuart, Florida, we have our ministry here, Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. And we have services every Sunday at 10 a.m. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
And, right. And every Friday night, we have Shabbat, and that's at 7 p.m. Somebody might say, what is Shabbat? Well, Shabbat just means the Sabbath.
Sabbath.
And so we just say Shabbat Shalom because it's still the Sabbath today.
Sabbath is the Sabbath. It's Saturday, right? It's not Sunday.
We always close the program with Shabbat, you know. And we are a Christian church, and we believe in the Jew and the Gentile, one in Messiah. And, you know, we just honor the Sabbath and we come together, and that's the day the Lord has led us to have a special time of seeking His presence and worshiping Him. And we have Shabbat and we have, you know, we do the prayers and we just...
Thank you, Lord.
The Sabbath was given to us, to man.
We know it's pleasing to the Lord that we do that. So we honor what? The Sabbath and also the first day of the week. We do both. I love it.
We love it. Yes.
So,
amen.
If you read some of the early writings of the church founding fathers years and years ago, you know, when after Jesus died and all that, They made it clear that they did the same thing. They honored the Sabbath, they all the appointed times, but they also they honored the first day of the week because that's the day that their Savior came out of
the grave. That's something we need to teach about sometime because it was it wasn't the Jews that wanted to stop the Sabbath or that wanted to have people not worship on Sunday. It was Constantine, right?
That's right.
And so they wanted to change things. Well, God never wanted to change the Sabbath. And some people say, Sunday is the Sabbath. Well, it might be the Sabbath for them, but it's not the Sabbath of the Bible.
Nope.
Of course, we know that every day is the Lord's day. And I'm not arguing that, debating that. Every day is the Lord's day, and we should live it as it is the Lord's day. But God set the Sabbath up in
place. He set it aside for a purpose, yeah.
In the very beginning, even before he gave Moses the law.
That's right.
And then when he did give him the law at Mount Sinai, he told him to remember the Sabbath.
That's right.
He says, he's not saying I'm giving you a new day to rest or anything else. He says, remember the Sabbath. And so keep it what?
Holy.
Keep it holy.
That's
keep
right.
It holy. Holy
set
means
apart.
Set apart. And the word in Hebrew for holy is kadosh.
That's right. Kadosh.
Keep it kosh.
Keep it kadosh.
Keep it. Probably it's where maybe where kosher comes from. I don't know. That just came to me. But keep it holy. And God wants us to keep it holy. And so he's given it to man to rest. Amen. So we do honor the Sabbath. And since we've been doing that for how many years now, Pastor Gene?
Oh,
because we used
track.
To have a Wednesday night
we
service.
We haven't done that for probably 12 years. It's been a long time.
We've been having Shabbat. And a lot of people are coming. And a lot of people are becoming more and more drawn to having to the Shabbat, to worshiping on coming together on Friday and lighting the candle lights it. And just before, when it gets dark. And just honoring the Sabbath. So,
that's right.
And we spend that time seeking God's presence. And don't we need to do that? We need to be still and know that He is God. And how are we going to hear from Him if we don't learn how to quiet ourselves down? So we have some awesome anointed prophetic music that we play we have communion and after a little teaching and sharing. And it's just wonderful. So that's our Friday night service. And, some people come and stay till 9. Some people stay till 11:30. Because they just can't leave the anointing is so powerful.
Good. Yeah, lay it before the Lord.
It's just the presence, and people have visions, and people, just some people are laying down, some people are sitting up, some people are standing, some people are on the floor. But, it's just whatever God tells you to do.
Yeah. Some people fall asleep, but God can talk to you while you're sleeping.
That's right. Dreams. Dream.
Yeah,
and, when you do have a dream, the Bible talks about having dreams.
That's right.
You should get up, and as soon as you have that dream, you should write it down, because visions, I don't think you forget very well. Visions stay with you more easily,
dreams,
I think, than dreams. But a dream, that some of the details, if you don't write it down right away, you won't remember all the details.
That's right,
because God wants to give us details. He doesn't just want to give us an overview. I mean, it's okay to have an overview of things, but then if you say, this is the overview of who are we going to talk about? King
Hezekiah.
Well, but then you want to get in there. Maybe what we're going to give you is an overview that's going to cause you to be hungry to go back and find out some more things and find out what are maybe some of the deeper revelations God wants you to know your own life for now.
Hallelujah.
Because there's really nothing new in the Bible. It's just new to us. When God awakens our spirit, man, and our heart, and we receive something from the Lord that could be somebody who lived 1,000 years ago. Could be somebody who lived just 30 years ago. Who knows?
Who knows?
Oh, you can get a revelation on things that God is wanting to teach you and show you, maybe about even the Sabbath,
Absolutely.
So, and then we also spend time on Saturday, but this Saturday we won't be doing, having any classes this Saturday. But we will have a video the last Saturday of the month that's going to really be good.
Which will be next, the following week. Or is it 2 weeks or next week?
I think it's 2 weeks.
Okay.
Praise the Lord. So it's good to be here. I want to give our telephone number, and if you want to know how to find the church, you can give us a call. It's very easy to find. We're here in Stuart. Also want to mention that Pastor Gene has his commentary on all the feasts of the Lord, which we really all need to know, and also on the calendar, God's calendar, not our calendar, but God's calendar.
The lunar calendar.
The lunar calendar. And also, if you'd like a calendar from Spirit of Prophecy, we have a calendar that we have every month, and it also has all the Jewish month has the Jewish month on it,
And our calendar superimposed.
That's right. Mm-hmm. So it's and a little. There's a little teaching on it. So if you'd like to have that, just give us a call. We'd be glad to mail that to you free,
sure,
of charge. And I know you'd be blessed by it because you know we can always learn something new.
Right.
And I think that I wrote something on there about the letter, the Vav, which is the sixth letter,
very important letter
in the Hebrew alphabet.
Yeah.
It's a number.
Yod Hey Vav Hey.
That's right. It's in Yod Hey Vav Hey, which
right.
spells Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's the third letter in it. Yod, Hey, Vav, Hey. And so there's a little bit in there about that. It's also the sixth letter of the alphabet. It represents number six, and it has a whole lot of meaning. One of the meaning it means hook or nail. And it's also for the number man. The number of man is six, right?
That's right.
And what man was hooked, or what you call nailed?
His name is Yeshua.
Yeshua, to his cross.
That's
there.
Right, for all
and
of us.
It represents that, what... represents a lot of things, but that's just give you a little bit of maybe interest that you might want to be getting.
So that letter's in the name of God, isn't it? Huh? It's in the name of God.
That's right. Start to get in. Well, Yeshua is
Yeshua's
God, isn't
God,
it?
Yes.
Jesus is
that's
God.
Right. Hallelujah.
You might want to get interested in some Hebrew letters, and some people say, well, we don't need to know any of that. That's an ancient language. Well, listen, the devil tried to destroy that language, but it's not. It's coming. It's back.
God brought it back.
It's alive, and it's not ever going to be destroyed because that's God's language.
That's right.
And so the more we know about God's language, the more we know about God and what he says in the Word. And even in the Torah, because even in the Torah, which is the first five books of the Hebrew Bible, and we have a Torah in the church, in our church, all the first letter that they write, they try to always make it a vav, and the vav really is a joining word. It means and this, and
brings
that.
Brings two things together,
so
doesn't it?
So it brings things together,
that's
and
right.
Of course, it's very powerful little letter. And so it's important that we know these things. It gives us more tidbits when we... helps us to understand the Bible when we read it. If
that's
we know
right.
a little bit, if we know a little bit of Hebrew, now maybe you're never going to learn how to read Hebrew, but if you know what the meanings of the letters and the number, numerical value, and you know a lot about the letter, you'll understand more about our Bible. We'll understand more, and God will show us more. So praise the Lord. That's good. So you
Island.
Might want that calendar.
Yeah. Yeah,
and also that Hebrew commentary, which is very important. The very first lesson is probably. Well, they're all important, but to know the calendar.
About how the
it helps us to know.
Calendar, yeah.
And we're in the last days.
Yes,
we are. Just listen to the news, you know. Just listen to the news. Look what's going on in Israel. We're in the last days, so it's important that we know all these things and that are beginning to happen. And that we're close. Time is short. Time is very short.
That's right.
So I'm going to give you the telephone number if you'd like to order that calendar or anything else. Phone number here in Stuart is area code 772-285-7007. I'll repeat that. Area code 772-285-7007. And please call that number. A lot of people call the office number, and you know, Pastor Gene, we don't always get that message until maybe Monday because we're not in the office that much on the weekend. So I would suggest if you call the cell phone, that's usually always with us, and we can usually get back with you in a short amount of time. Amen.
That's
right. Or you could text us. Amen. Praise God. So we want to say hello to some of our special friends out there. Of course, you're all our special friends, even though we may not know you or have
never met you, maybe, yeah.
Or seen you. But those of you who are listening, we are one in Messiah.
Amen.
If you weren't listening to us, then you wouldn't, you know, you're in agreement. So one in Messiah means we're in agreement. And I'm sure there might be even some Jewish people listening, Pastor Gene. Because, you know, there even in all the things that are going on, I just got a... information that planes are still taking people aliyah over there, and
that's
they
right.
showed a big picture of I think the youngest person was 3 and the oldest one was 91 making aliyah even in all this
right.
of these missiles, all of these bombs going off,
going to home their homeland.
You know, you wouldn't be going to most Americans say I'm not going to go there, you know, that's not a safe place. Well, it is a safe place.
Probably safe in any place in the world.
It is a safe place.
Yeah.
And so here we have all these people going, they're going back. Well, you know, it has to be the Lord. Because who would want to go back where there's battles and war going on and where it's not a very large place where it could be wiped off the earth. But, you know, the Bible says it's not going to be wiped off the earth ever.
That's right.
Ever, 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 ever. And if we understand that, you know, God is dealing with the Jewish people even now to be bringing them back. And all these years they've been bringing them back, for instance, back, when did they start? Back in 19...
What? 1948, they became a nation.
And people started to go back, but now it's like multiplication. They're more and more going back, young and old. They want to return.
Amen.
Well, if you think it's just a desire, I think it's built in them. And God is stirring that their heart, that desire to go back to Jerusalem.
That's right.
This, they always say, next year in Jerusalem.
Yeah.
You know, when you say that, I just said that and I just got goosebumps. Well, I really shouldn't be going by all our feelings, but God gave us feelings, didn't he?
Yeah, right.
And when they say, next year in Jerusalem, next year in Jerusalem, that just gets into their being, and that's it becomes a desire. And even people who love the Lord, they may not be Jewish, but they could say that, and that desire, same desire, would become into their heart, because the Bible says that we're all going to go up and worship in Jerusalem.
That's what it says.
On the feast days.
On the Feast of Tabernacles.
And that's
no
another
less.
Reason why you need to have that commentary, so you'll know that.
Yeah.
We're all going to go up. It says the nations that don't go up, it won't rain on their land.
So it'll be a curse put on the land. That's right.
So, you know, God doesn't change. He's
that's
the
right.
same. And he's going to continue to be the same. He's not changing.
That's right.
He's God, and he says, I change not, he said.
But you know, I think about how safe it is in Israel. I mean, we went in 2003, and nobody wanted to go. They were concerned about all
uh-huh.
the...
Right.
It was safe, but you think about it. It's safer there probably than any place in the world. We have more murders, like if you lived in Chicago.
Right.
You don't read about that in Jerusalem or in Israel, where people are shooting and killing each other, going into schools and doing the stuff that's going on. And so it's a safe place. And so we're at a place that's more dangerous than it would be over there. But people don't think that, but that's the way it is, because that's God's nation. And so he's going to protect them. And so when we think about everything God's given us in the Bible and all that, look how he's protected Israel through
all
the calamities. And he's always
all
brought them through.
Wars.
He's brought them through every time. And all the
maybe
miracles.
Maybe we should teach about all the different wars that they've gone through. Wow,
and all the
awesome.
Miracles that happened during
and
those
miracles,
wars.
Yes,
that's right.
Amen. Even the wind coming and blowing, just that blowing the sand for, 5 minutes or whatever it was? Just enough time, and then it stopped totally still.
To uncover all the mines.
Where they could see every single mine sticking up, and they could walk through this minefield
and not
be hurt.
That was
a miracle. That's a miracle.
That's right.
Praise God. And we have this video that we're going to be showing things about miracles, about Israel. It's just going to be really wonderful. And perhaps that's probably the one we're going to show. Maybe put that one next a couple weeks from now. But I want to say hello. Like I started to say hello to all of our those listeners out there. You know who you are, and those prayer warriors. And we thank you for your intercession and your prayer. And we want to say a special hello to Roscoe and Audrey
Walks,
who have apostle and prophetess on
Andros
Island.
Wow, in the Bahamas.
Amen. So the church over there that they have started, it's called Temple of God. Actually, it's several years old now, and the building's blocks are going to be going up pretty soon. Amen. To build the house of God. So I'm going to say hello to you. They always listen to us, and they have some of the church maybe listen to us if they can. So, you know, it's wonderful that people around the world can listen to this radio broadcast. So we just thank the Lord and just pray for WCNO.
That's right.
You know, their funds everybody's having problems with funds, but
funds
we thank
run.
The Lord.
Yeah.
We're not in the red, never been in the red, never plan on being in the red. We thank you, Father, that he supplies all our needs according to his riches and glory.
Hallelujah.
But if you would like to give a special offering for this anniversary, mm-hmm. amen, of this radio program, 17 years, and we'd be glad to receive it. And you can mail it to the Spirit of Prophecy Ministries, and that's at Post Office Box 413, Stewart, S-T-U-A-R-T, Stewart, Florida, 34995.
That's right.
I want to say also to... to Daryl and Judy. They listen to us up there
in the
Carolinas.
That's right.
And other people, other places, and who knows where. And give us a call. A lot of you say, I've been listening to you for 6 months, and they pop in the church, or a year.
I've been listening for 2 years, and we finally get to meet them.
it's awesome. So, you know, if you can't come visit us, give us a call. Maybe you're driving up and down the highway, and you just want to know more about Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We'd be glad to share that with you. Just give us a call, and wherever you're at, you know, you can... internet, you can catch us anywhere around the world. So, but we'd love to be able to hear from you. So, if you're blessed with this program, or if you want to know more information about the Jewish roots, we'd be glad. They're not the Jewish roots; they're called
the roots of the Father. Amen.
The roots
of the
Lord.
He gave them to
the
Jews. Yeah.
He gave them to the Jews, right?
To honor.
He knew who he needed to give them to. You know, God always knows who to give something to.
That's right.
And so, and if you're faithful. And God will give you, give us all more if we're faithful and true. He's looking for those who are faithful. He looks for faithfulness. Amen. God's always faithful.
But a lot of people
looking for faithfulness.
A lot of people are getting hungry though for the things of the Lord in a new way. And so even I think about our church, the majority of people we have in the congregation come eventually, the majority of them, from the radio program or someone that listened to the radio program and told them about it. And so they come because they want to know the things about what God put in place for the Jews. And so because we're grafted in, we're the unnatural branch that's been grafted in, so we need to embrace all those things for ourselves. Mm-hmm. We're not going to become Jewish in lifestyle and all that. We don't have to do all that. But the thing is, we're spiritual Jews. We're connected to them. And thank God, because remember Jesus said, well, salvation is of the Jews. It comes from Him. And so praise God. And so there's so much where the church is missing today because we've been robbed of all these things that God wants us to know. So if you'd like to get that commentary or that book,
it's $25 for shipping.
Yeah, with maybe $2 or $3 for the shipping, and we'd be glad to mail it out to you. It'll cover all those appointed times that belong to God and what He did them for and the purpose, and they're all prophetic to the days that we're in right now. And so you can learn so much from all that.
And plus you have maps and you have charts in
there. Charts, that's right.
And it also covers the book of Daniel and the book of Revelation.
Covers
and
them all.
All of them. It gives you the days, the numbers. Can check it out on your own because,
right.
You know.
It's all there.
Pastor Gene didn't put his own thought. I mean, everything comes out of the Bible.
Out of the
Bible.
The
King James Bible.
That's right.
And every number, whenever it says any month, he knows the month because the Bible will teach us the month.
That's
it
right.
May not tell us exactly the day, but if we know if it's the third month, we happen to know, we'll know what month it is.
That's
right. Pastor Gene.
Amen. So, you know, we even have two lessons in there on two times that are not really appointed times, Hanukkah and Purim, okay?
Amen.
And we talk all about that. And so, but God knew he knew that was going to happen. And so he remembers everything that happens to Israel that's negative. They try to come against Israel. So we have to remember that. And so here they are right now over there. They're in a major, major, major struggle right now in this war that's going on over there. But we can see that what's going on. And I just keep praying for a wonderful man of God, a Prime Minister, Benjamin Netanyahu, that he's going to stay strong and they're going to do what needs to be done. And they don't need the rest of the world to come in and butt in and try to tell them what to do like we try to do. They'll take care of it. God is on their side. And so no matter what happens, they will win somehow. We know that. And so we look at the Bible. We're going to talk about one of the kings here for a little bit today. You know, a lot of the prophecy teachers, they're trying to tell you the end from the end. Well, the end from the end, you're not going to get much out of that. Oh, we see things happening. Those are what signs. But the Bible says in Isaiah that he's going to tell us the end from what? From the beginning. So we go back to the ancient past and see what God put in place. And we can see the prophetic realm with all this as we have ears and eyes to understand that. But when you read your Bible, you have to ask God to give you a prophetic mind, give you a prophetic thought in all this. What's all this about? Why does God put all these moments down and these events that happen? They're not stories. They're events that happen to remind us of something that happened hundreds of years ago that we can apply to our lives today, and we won't have to go through some of the things that those people went through. And we see it over here in Kings and all how, you know, they had the good kings in like the northern tribes, you know, nothing but bad kings. And then the tribes of Judah and Benjamin, well, they had a good king, a bad king, a good king, and a bad king. We talked about that last week with King Josiah, how good he was. His father was a despot. He was terrible. And then after him, there were some bad kings came, you know. You know, the sons that he had grew up in a family like that and turned out so bad. And so I was going to talk a little bit today about King Hezekiah. Now, we know Hezekiah came before Josiah did, but he did a lot of things in Israel too. But the Bible makes it clear that Josiah did even greater things than Hezekiah did. And so we got some things we can really glean from with all this, and we can see if we look at this and ask the Lord to show us some things. And as I looked at this today and over the week, during the week a little bit, I see some things that reminds me a lot of things about the country that we're in, what we're going through right now. We've got a bunch of political leaders that don't want to do what God says to do. They want to do what they think is right, and they're trying to control people, manipulate people and all that. And so this is supposed to be a country of freedom, a republic, amen? And so if we walk with God, we can govern ourselves, can't we, Pastor Don? We have the Word of God, and we can govern ourselves. But we got so many people don't want to do that. They want to do their own thing. But let's talk about King Hezekiah a little bit here, Pastor Don. I'm going to go over to 2 Kings chapter 18 with you. If you're at home, you can open up a Bible. If you're out in the car, we know you can't do that, but you can listen. And if you'd like to get a copy of what we might discuss here for a little bit, all we ask for is a love offering so you can make out a check to the ministry, Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. Mail it to Post Office Box 413. That's in Stuart, Florida, as Donna mentioned a little bit ago. And the zip is 34995. And we will be glad to get it out to you. All we ask for is a love offering, whatever the Lord will show you. Well, here in chapter 18 of 2 Kings, the very first verse, we see something here. It says, "Now it came to pass in the third year of Hoshea, son of Elah, king of Israel," this is the northern group, "that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign." Now he was 25 years old when he remember Josiah was what? He was 8 years old when he reigned. Well, here we have Hezekiah, he was 25 years old and when he began to reign, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. So he was king for 29 years. It's interesting how the Bible mentions all these, a lot of these kings' mother's name. His mother's name also was Abi, A-B-I, and her name means God's will. God's will for Hezekiah, maybe, huh? The daughter of Zechariah. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David, what his father did. And here's an interesting thing that really caught my eye as we think about this. He removed the high places, just like Josiah did. So here we have King Hezekiah. He's taken down a lot of the high places. And by the time Josiah came, a lot of them were back in place again because of the bad kings. He removed the high places and break the images and cut down in the groves. That's what they worship under these trees and all. Listen to this. And break in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. So they had that brazen serpent around for hundreds of years that Moses was involved with. When it was a brass serpent, the people looked up that. Remember, they didn't get bit with the snakes and all that. So they were worshiping that thing. For unto those days, the children of Israel did burn incense to it, and he called it Nehushtan. Well, that means just a piece of brass. It was just a piece of metal, but God used it for a purpose. But he never intended for them to start worshiping that thing, okay? So what happened? That brass serpent became what? A pagan god, a false god. And they worshiped for years. And so he got rid of it. And then verse 5 says, "He trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were even before him." And so we see what he did. Well, in his lifetime, as we look at this a little bit, we find out that Assyria was in power because they came in and they conquered all of the northern tribes, the 10 northern tribes. And they had a king by the name of Shalmaneser was the king of Assyria. And he came up and he besieged Samaria, the northern tribes and all that. And he besieged it and he took it over completely. We go down here now to verse 11. It says, well, let's look at verse 10. "And at the end of 3 years, they took it." Who was this? The Assyrians. They besieged the whole part, up there in the north, Samaria, and they built their fortresses all around it. They wouldn't let anybody go in or come out, and so it took 3 years, and the city fell, okay? And then it says, "In the sixth year of Hezekiah," that is the ninth year of Hoshea, king of Israel, "Samaria was taken." So they fell. And this is, "And the king of Syria did carry away Israel into Assyria." This is in verse 11. "And put them in Hala and Habor by the river Gozan and in the cities of the Medes, because they obeyed not the voice of the Lord their God, but transgressed his covenant and all that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded, and would not hear them nor do them." So here they broke all the commandments again, didn't they? They didn't obey what God had to say. And so what? God took care of it. Now, we go to verse 13. "Now, in the 14th year of King Hezekiah," so how old is he now? Remember, he was 25. He's 29 years old now. I'm sorry, he's older than that.
He reigned a lot of years.
He became king at 25 years of age, and so it says in the 14th year of his reign. So 10 years would take him, he'd be what? He would be 35. He was 39 years old here then, I guess. "Now, in the 14th year of King Hezekiah," there's another man, Sennacherib, another king of Assyria, decided, well, we've conquered the northern tribes of Samaria, let's go get Judah and Benjamin now, okay?
Yeah.
So his name was Sennacherib. Now I looked this up today, and this kind of blew me away. Sennacherib's name means moon god.
Oh boy,
now, we got a clue what's going on in the Middle East right now. Well, what does Allah's name mean? The moon god. Okay, the same thing. So we got a connection here, even this day, to look at these things, okay? So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came up against all the fenced cities of Judah and took them. So he came against them, okay? Now, for time's sake, I want to do this.
You know, while you're going somewhere else, I was just thinking about this, Pastor Gene. You know, Moses was given directions to put up that brass serpent for a reason.
For a reason.
They went and changed
right.
it and started burning sacrifices.
You got it.
Well, God also set the moon and the sun and the stars in the sky for a reason.
Not to worship them, though.
And right, and also that we would be on the right calendar, because
right.
God's calendar is according to the moon. But not to make them a god.
Mm-hmm.
And so what has happened? Because, see, God said something, and then the devil comes and he twists things. And
he does.
He's still doing that. He's the liar. He's the biggest liar of all. He comes and he'll take something that sounds good, that God talked about, and he will give another angle to it.
Twist it, right?
He will twist it.
Pervert it.
And so once you give another angle and you keep moving, you know what it does? It causes a twisting. And it causes a twisting away from the Word of God. So here we have these moon gods, right?
Mm-hmm.
These moon gods. And there's a lot of them and they're all Muslim in nature. So they worship that. But that wasn't the reason that God set the moon and the stars in place. He set them in place to give us what? Signs.
Signs of the times and seasons.
The times, signs of the times and seasons.
You got it.
So we can see here how the enemy comes to kill, steal, and to destroy.
But that's an interesting thought about a simple thing like that. You know, that was for God's glory about that serpent back then. And those people were healed that looked at it. It's a picture of Yeshua being lifted up as well. But then they turned
Yeshua
around.
Yeshua overcoming the serpent.
Right. Yeah.
Not worshiping a serpent.
Right. But overcoming.
And burning sacrifices to the serpent.
You got it.
Oh my gosh. And so he was right. He says, it's just a piece of brass.
That's all it is. A piece of brass.
It's just a piece of brass.
They wanted to worship it.
And they made it an idol.
And it was for lots of years.
What are most idols made out of? Mm-hmm. Stonehenge.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Okay. Oh, what about all these? You can listen to them on the
History Channel. Yeah.
You know, people in their homes, even some of you listening to us, may have an idol in your house, and you may not even know what it is. It may be a picture that you just kind of liked, or you liked colors that were in it, and you thought, well, I'll hang this. This will go with my decor. Somebody is listening to me now and even saying, well, I better look around, because I can guarantee you there's people listening to us that have things hanging on their wall or sitting on a table or in a cabinet that is demonic, and they don't realize it. They don't think it is, but it draws demonic spirits. It draws devils.
That's right.
And so, you know, we need to know what we have in our house. I mean, maybe you're not bound down worshiping it, but you're entertaining something in your house. You're letting somebody's coming in and looking at that, maybe, you know, or your place of business.
Sure.
Do you have Egyptian stuff? Do you have things from the past? You know, we just because we like something, you know, doesn't mean it's for, or it's the right color. It doesn't mean we need to have it in our house. Find something else. Amen.
People travel around the world and go in different countries, and they buy these relics they think are so wonderful. Well, they don't know what's attached to them. And I'm reminded of a wonderful apostle that we know. He's passed on now. And he ministered in a church one time. And this pastor was telling him he just had these terrible migraine headaches just continually. Couldn't get rid of them. And so one day at lunch, this apostle was talking to him in his office, got looking around. He had these things on the wall, and he asked him where they came from. Well, he traveled to Africa a lot. And so he had these things he picked up, and he put them on the wall and all that. And the apostle picked it up in the spirit right away. Bingo. There's a demonic attachment to those things you've got on the wall.
That's what's causing the headaches.
That's right. So he said, if you get these out of your office and destroy those things, or if that problem you have will go. He did that. He destroyed those, and he called this apostle back, I don't know, a week or two later, and all the headaches were gone.
That's
so those things that are hooked to those things that are demonic and cause a lot of problems.
And some people say, well, I paid a lot of money for that.
Oh, yeah, paid a lot of money.
I said, well, you want to keep your headache?
That's right.
You know, what's more important to you?
That's right.
That thing that you paid a lot of money for, or you want that headache, you know?
That's right.
Get rid of the idol.
That's
See,
right.
if you paid a lot of money for it and you want to keep it because you think, or you want to sell it. No, you shouldn't even sell it, because why you want to give somebody else a headache?
Burn it up. Get rid of it. Bust it up in pieces.
Bust it up.
Throw it around.
Break it.
But this is really key what Pastor Don just said here about this brass serpent, because remember, it was a symbol for the people to save their lives because of the curse that was there at that time. They looked at that.
And who saves our life?
That's
the
what
Lord Jesus
does. And so here this serpent, you know, they looked at that. But it's a picture of Jesus being lifted up, and what? He came to destroy what the serpent was going to do.
Wow.
So it's wonderful when we think about it. So here's Hezekiah now. And this other king now, Sennacherib, is going to try to convince him that he's conquered all the nations around them, and he's going to conquer Judah as well. And he says, well, you think that you're going to get by without me conquering you? I've conquered all these nations. You won't. And so we see some interesting things down here. I'm still in chapter 18. I'm going to go down to verse 26. It says, then Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, remember who Hilkiah was? He was the high priest. And Shebna and Joah and a man called Rabshakeah. Now he was one of the leaders with Sennacherib, and he was like a spokesman. He was like an ambassador that went out and talked on behalf of the king. So he says, speak, I pray thee, to thy servants, this servant of the Sennacherib, in the Syrian language, for we understand it. the Jews say, and talk not with us in the Jews' language. Because see, the leaders there didn't want the Jews to hear all the bad things that was going to come forth. So he says, don't speak to us in our language, speak in your language, all right, in the ears of the people. Now, verse 27 says, but the Rabshakeh said unto them, hath my master sent me to thy master and to thee to speak these words? Hath he not sent me to the men which sit on the wall, and that they may eat their own dung and drink their own piss? We know this is their urine. And with you? So he wanted them all to hear this. Then the Rabshakeh stood and cried with a loud voice to the Jews in the Jewish language and spake, saying, hear the word of the great king, the king of Assyria. Listen to this. Thus saith the king, let not Hezekiah deceive you, for he shall not be able to deliver you out of his hand. Neither let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord, saying, the Lord will surely deliver us, and this city shall not be delivered into the hand of the king of Syria. So he's blaspheming God here.
That's right.
Hearken not to Hezekiah, for thus saith the king of Assyria, make an agreement with me by a present, so of a gift,
a bribe,
and come out to me, and then eat ye every man of his own vine, and every one of his fig tree, and drink you every one of the waters of his cistern. So he says, you're going to be blessed. You're going to be so blessed if you'll do this.
Do what I say, and you'll be blessed, you know.
Until I come and take you away to a land like your own land. Well, there's no land like Israel.
No land.
A land of corn and wine, a land of bread and vineyards, a land of oil, of olive oil, I should say, and of honey, that you may live and not die, and hearken not unto Hezekiah when he persuadeth you, saying, the Lord will what? Deliver. You know what Hezekiah's name means? It means Jehovah is strength. So see, he's hanging on to Jehovah.
Now, and you know, had these people, when things like this happened, had these people done that, they would become servants of that nation.
That's right.
And slaves.
That's right.
What happened in Egypt.
That's right. Now verse 33 says, hath any of the gods of the nations delivered at all his land out of the hand of the king of Assyria? He says, we've conquered all these nations. You think you're going to get away without us conquering you? He says, no way, this king. Now verse 34, where are the gods of Hamath and of Arpad? Where are the gods of Sepharvaim, Hinnon, and Iva? Have they delivered Samaria out of mine hand? The answer to that's no. He conquered them. Who are they among all the gods of the countries that have delivered their country out of mine hand, that the Lord should deliver Jerusalem out of my hand? But the people held their peace, listen to this, and answered him not a word, for the king, who's king? This is King Hezekiah, commandment was saying, answer him not.
That's right.
All right.
I know, and that brings me to another thought.
That's right.
Don't communicate with the devil.
That's right.
Don't communicate, and don't say negative things. Don't say negative words. You just open yourself up to more and more demonic activity. And, you know, how can you deliver somebody when they're continually opening themselves up to more and more activity
of
the devil? You can't. So you're wasting your time even trying. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, the Bible says that they're going to come back and they're going to be worse. They can be seven times worse than they were before they left you, these demons. I'm
That's
talking
right.
about these demonic powers. So, you know, you can't, like he said, you can't entertain the devil. And that's what they wanted to, that's what they were trying to do.
That's
you know,
right.
You have to believe and you have to trust in the word of God, no matter what's going on around you. You know, sure, he took over all those other nations, but they weren't the God of, they weren't the Israel. They weren't in Jerusalem, you know. They weren't the ones who worshiped the true God. Israel worshiped the true God. And so when the kings did the right thing, they were always won the battle.
They always
did.
When
even you go all the way back to when Joshua was sent into the land, you know, Moses said, he sent Joshua went in and Caleb. Whenever they followed the instructions of the Lord right to the T, it may not have made any sense to them. You know, a lot of things don't make sense. It may not make sense that
God
said to
do. We're going to see this in a little bit here.
But when you follow what the instructions of
the
Lord,
Lord,
it doesn't matter if you're going to set foxes' tails on fire or what. You know, the enemy has to flee, and got what God says will come to pass. See, we try to figure things out with our mind, right?
Mm-hmm.
But we can't do that. And we can't entertain the enemy, and we have to totally stick with what God says and believe it and speak it and don't talk, don't entertain him. He says, don't even talk to him.
That's right.
Don't even talk to him, you know? Ignore him.
So we
we have... Yeah, they didn't have the blood of Jesus.
We have the blood
of Jesus, and they didn't have the New Testament. You know, it says that we have authority over principalities and powers.
Amen.
And the works of darkness. and in high places even, mm-hmm. you know, even where these demonic powers are in the second heaven. We have authority and to for a protection of ourselves, our homes, our children.
Amen.
Amen. And
thank
Israel,
you,
their land. Why? Because they're worshiping the true God.
You got it.
See, now how can America have 100% protection if we have all these gods in our nation?
That's why we don't have
and
it.
And we have all of these... See, it back over here where it says it talks about the brass idol.
Uh-huh.
You know, it wasn't just one. Now they were made more of them.
Probably so.
It
they were worshiping.
So, it says so. It says here... it said back over here, I'm trying to remember where it was. I know it said, and break the brass images. See, there was more than one brass image.
Probably so.
So they had taken the copy, okay? And that's what people do, or even the enemy. He'll take the copy of what God has,
yeah.
and he will change it, and he will now place it in other places. Think of all the things that we have here in America that come from other countries, okay?
Yeah.
Pyramids.
That's right.
Okay.
Obelisk.
Images. Obelisks,
yeah.
right? What's that? Obelisk. We have one sitting right there in Washington, D.C., right in front of the White House, right there by the White House.
Washington's name
Washington
on it.
Washington Monument. There.
That's right.
All these things. And so here, what have they done? See, Moses only made one brass image, okay? And it was for a certain purpose at a certain time for a certain thing that was happening.
That was it.
And they took that and they copied it and they put these brass images. I don't know if it was always a serpent, but a brass image of something. And they had them all over the place. So it wasn't just one. They're not just going to one now. Now they just everywhere you go, here's a brass image. Well, you can go in every single state in the United States and there, you can find demonic images everywhere.
That's right.
Everywhere.
Mm-hmm. You sure can. But you know, I was just thinking about all this. It's we like I mentioned on Sunday morning when I was teaching a little bit. When we hear from God about something, we don't let anyone talk us out of it. We talked about a prophet that was told to do one thing, he did the opposite, it cost him his life. And so we have to stay with what God tells us to do. So it's important to understand all that. So here we are. We see what happened with all this. And so I'm going to go over now to. We're in chapter 19 now. That says in verse 1, it came to pass when King Hezekiah heard it, that he rent his clothes and covered himself with sackcloth and went into the house of the Lord. He was so upset when he heard this, what this man was saying in this letter that was given to him. So he went into the house of the Lord. Now let's go down to verse 6 in chapter 19. And so verse 5 says, so the servants of the king Hezekiah came to Isaiah. So they went to the prophet.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 6, and Isaiah said unto them, thus shall ye say to your master, thus saith the Lord. Now listen to this. Be not afraid of the words which thou hast heard, with which the servants of the king of Assyria have blasphemed, who? Me. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
Behold, I will send a blast upon him, and he shall hear a rumor, and shall return to his own land, and I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land. And this is exactly what happened.
Praise
okay?
the Lord.
All right. So then we find out, as we read through this, that Hezekiah got this letter. We go down to verse 14 now. It says, and Hezekiah received the letter of the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. We got to bring things before the Lord, don't we, honey? He took the letter. He's going to lay it out. And he's going to pray over this letter that he got from this false king, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord God of Israel, which dwellest between the cherubims, thou art the God, even thou alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth, thou hast made heaven and earth. Lord, bow down thine ear and hear, open.
Mm-hmm.
He says,
open,
Lord, thine eyes and see and hear the words of Sennacherib, which has sent him to reproach the living God. Mm-hmm. Of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have destroyed the nations and their lands. He said, that's a fact. But
yes.
Listen, and have cast their gods into the fire, for they were no gods,
mm-hmm.
like that brass serpent. But the work of men's hands, wood and stone, therefore they have destroyed them. Now therefore, O Lord, our God, I beseech thee, save thou us out of his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord God, even thou only. Isn't that wonderful?
And isn't that what God is doing now with Israel?
That's right.
He's showing them that he is their God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they may not all realize that because there's a lot of secularism in Israel now.
That's right.
You know? There mm-hmm. is, and there's a lot of things that are wrong there, and it's not perfect. It's not a perfect place. There's a lot of sin there, but you know, God never. He always completes His work.
Absolutely.
With a people or a nation, and so He is even now with what's going on over there now. He is showing, and he has the right people on the chessboard, you know. He has the right people there that are doing what he's called them to do. And so he's going to show himself powerful there. And even in the midst of where all the enemies, like it shows here, he had taken all these other nations or cities and towns, whatever.
They were city or countries.
Right, countries. And so the Assyrians had taken them. But, you know, and they're trying to take, that's exactly what they're trying to do to Israel. In fact, they would just like to just wipe them off the face of the earth and everything else that's in Jerusalem or Israel. But it's not going to happen.
That's right.
Because God's going to keep his word. God never breaks his word. He always keeps his word. He's faithful to his word.
Let's see what God does with this. Now, we're almost done here.
Thank you, Lord.
In verse 20 now, in chapter 19, it says, Then Isaiah the son of Amos sent to Hezekiah, saying, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel. He's getting a fact here, not to remember and put in his heart. That which thou hast prayed to me against Sennacherib, king of Assyria, I have heard. I've heard you.
Mm-hmm.
This is the word that the Lord hath spoken concerning him. The virgin daughter of Zion, who's this? He's talking about Jerusalem, huh? Hath despised thee and laughed thee to scorn. The daughter of Jerusalem hath shaken her head at thee. They're shaking their head at the enemy. Mm-hmm. Whom hast thou reproached and blasphemed? And against whom hast thou exalted thy voice and lifted up thine eyes on high, even against the Holy One of Israel? And so he goes through all this. And yeah, I'm going to go down to verse 27. Now, Isaiah is still speaking this word. But I know thy abode, says Isaiah through by God, and thy going out and thy coming in and thy rage against me, because thy rage against me and thy tumult has come up into mine ears. Therefore, I will put my hook in thy nose and my bridle in thy lips, and I will turn thee back by the way which thou camest. And this shall be a sign unto thee. Ye shall eat this year such things as grow of themselves, and the second year that which springeth of the same, and the third year sow you and reap and plant vineyards and eat the fruits thereof. He's going to bless Israel. And the remnant that is escaped of the house of Judah shall yet again take root downward and bear fruit upward. That's what's going on in Israel right now. They're coming back. For out of Jerusalem shall go forth a remnant, and they that escape out of Mount Zion, the zeal of the Lord of hosts shall do this. Therefore, thus saith the Lord concerning the king of Assyria, he shall not come into the city, listen to this, nor shoot an arrow there, nor come before it with shield, nor cast a bank against it, a siege in other words.
Mm-hmm.
By the way that he came, by the same shall he return, and he shall not come into the city, saith the Lord. And I will defend this city to save it for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake. Now listen to what happened here.
Mm-hmm.
And it came to pass that night. That the angel of the Lord went out and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000.
185,000.
And when they rose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses laying everywhere. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and went and returned and dwelt in Nineveh. Went just like the Lord said was going to happen. Amen.
It's incredible. And God didn't wait. It says it happened quickly, you know.
Now look what happens to this guy, because he rebuked the Lord and blasphemed. And it came to pass, as he was worshiping in the house of Nisroch, his god, that Adrammelech and Sherezer, his sons, smote him with the sword, and they escaped into the land of Armenia, and Esarhaddon, his son, reigned in his stead. So he lost his life too, didn't he, all through that. Isn't that incredible? So here we have all these examples here. And I think about our country. See, we're not obeying the word of God. We're not doing what God's told us in this wonderful book we have, the Bible. And we see even our founding fathers, you know, when our country was started.
Mm-hmm.
Think about it. It was based on the foundations and the Word of God. They all believed in that. And that's why it was so powerful when it started. But look what's happened as the years gone by now. We've just drifted away, just like Israel did. They got into deep trouble. And thank God there were some kings that came that were willing to shake some boots and say, let's get back to where God wants us to be. And so what did they do? They tore down all those high places. They tore all that down and reestablished the worship that God wanted. Even as we talked about Josiah, all the wonderful things that he did. He reestablished true worship in Israel. And they had a Passover they hadn't held since the days of Samuel. That's how wonderful it was, the way he did it. And so our country needs to come back to that place. Right, that Pastor Don? We need to come back to that place to love God with all of our heart. And we put him first in everything instead of all the things that we see going on. All the bickering and the division. And Jesus said that a house divided against itself cannot stand, and that's where we're at. We have two parties, and they're fussing and complaining and griping, and they can't get along. Same stuff all the time. And we're passing laws. My heart goes out. We passed laws years ago in 1973 about the abortion issue. Now we're accepting same-sex marriage. We're seeing all these things that's going on. It's making God get
wow.
He's getting more angry all the time. How much longer? I keep asking the Lord, how much longer are you going to tolerate the debauchery and the sin and the blaspheming of your name in this land? It's incredible what we have. But see, the church has kind of let everything down because we haven't stood up for the truth. We've let these other groups come in and let them determine what's going to happen. And we got nine people, the Supreme Court, that really basically makes all the laws in the land where it's going to be in place or not. And so we see all this, and so we got to stand up for the truth. And I pray that we'll be like King Hezekiah, like King Josiah. We're going to stand for the truth. We're not going to deviate from it in any way, shape, or form. And over there with Israel right now, you know, we know they're not obeying God in a lot of areas. But see, God, that land, those people belong to Him, and they're going to have the victory no matter what it looks like. When they came back in 1948, they weren't perfect people that time. There was a lot of things that were wrong and all that, but He delivered them in the 1948, in the war, the 1967 war, the Yom Kippur war, 1973. They were delivered. There was miracles that happened during those times of war that the people, when they think back on it now, they know it had to be God and nobody else. And so God is on their side when we walk with Him. So as we trust Him, Hezekiah looked back to God, and because he did, God said, all right, I'm going to take care of your city. It's that Sennacherib's not even going to come into your city, and he didn't. Isn't that wonderful?
That's right. That's
Hallelujah.
Right. Praise God.
It's incredible.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
So we have some wonderful examples here for our own life.
But
when
we
hear from God, and we stay with the Word of God, no matter what the situation looks like in our families, with our spouses, whatever.
Right.
We will have the victory.
That's right. And you know, Pastor Gene, Hezekiah did a great work for the Lord in tearing down all those idols and those idols of false worship. But you know, then Hezekiah got, we have a few minutes?
Oh, yeah.
Hezekiah didn't always do the right thing.
Nope.
Just like we don't always do the right thing. But you know, Hezekiah got sick.
He sure did.
He got sick.
That's over in chapter 20.
He was going to die.
That's right.
And so actually, it's still here in chapter 20.
Yeah.
So he was gonna die, and so he sought the Lord. He cried, you know, and he basically cried unto the Lord and begged the Lord, you know.
And Isaiah came to him.
And so Isaiah had said he was gonna, you know, he was gonna die. So anyway, so he's praying and crying out to God, and you know, and then God speaks to Isaiah, and Isaiah goes back and tells him he's gonna, you know, he's not going to die. And
we'll give him 15 more years.
Gave him 15 more years.
That's right.
And so he did. He gave him 15 more years, and you know, he would be. Because, you know, he did, because when he cried out to the Lord, he would say, you know, I did this for you. I've done this for you. I did that for you. And so he did do the right things, you know, that God told him to do.
Yep.
But then, you know, when there was a king of that heard that he was sick.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was going to send him some gifts, right?
Right.
I'm just going to paraphrase this for time's sake. And so, you know, a gift is like, can be like a bribe.
Almost,
okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It depends. You know, some people give gifts and they give it from their heart. But other times people give gifts and they're like a bribe. So I would think that this gift was not just a gift, but it was like a bribe. Well, you know, what it did is it turned his heart away from the Lord. Because now he's listening to the enemy. Now
that's
he knows
right.
that the guy in Babylon, it was a guy in Babylon, right? Wasn't it? I think he knows
this is
that,
from Assyria.
I think it's over here. A king of Babylon, king of Babylon,
okay.
Verse 12.
Okay.
So anyway, so he sends these gifts, right?
Yeah.
And so it's almost like his heart. What happened? His heart was turned away. And so what is he going to do? He goes and he shows the enemy all his precious,
riches.
All his
Everything.
Riches. The worst thing he could have even begun to do.
That's right.
Did he seek the Lord for that? No.
Nope.
I mean, he was thankful that God healed him. But think about people that are so thankful. They've asked for healing. They're thankful that God healed them. And then all of a sudden they're healed and they got 15 more years. And I think there's something really prophetic in the 15 more years, you know, prophetically according to the end times. But he had these 15 more years. He knew, you know, God had given him. There was even a guarantee because the shadow went backwards, I think, on the clock or something in there. I have to read it. Again, but I'm going by memory. That he wanted
10
a sign.
10 degrees backward it went.
So yeah, he wanted a sign, and so God even gave the sign. Isn't the word enough?
That's right.
He gave him the word.
That's
but
right.
No, and then he wants a sign.
That's
you
right.
Know, and people, you know, I think about people today. They get the word. We have the word, and now we want God to give us a sign. You know, I think we antagonize God at times, you know, because what can't we just trust and believe what his word says? No, I have to have a sign. And then he gets the sign, and no, he knows he has 15 more years. He's not even worried about, well, I got 15 more years. I'm going to be, you know, God's given me this. But why would he do what he did and take this bribe, take this gift, and go in and show the enemy
everything he had?
That's like us taking in our worst enemy in the world and taking them into Fort Knox, or taking them in and showing them how much gold we have in the United States, or showing them all of our artillery, or telling them where all of our bases are, you know, telling them the secret things that they shouldn't have. The enemy, you don't tell the enemy, you don't give the enemy your information.
Let's show them what happened with this now. This word was given to him, and it was fulfilled 115 years later in the future.
Right, but my basic thing, I know you're going to share that, but my basic thought is, why do we even today get an answer from the Lord, and then we just go our own way and we forget about God until we have another problem?
That's right.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, let's show this, because we're down to about 2.5 minutes here. Anyway, he showed all these treasures to this king.
Yep.
And then verse 19, see, God speaking here. Then said Hezekiah and Isaiah, after Isaiah gave this word from the Lord. Good is this word, he says. Because he said he's going to come in and destroy everything because of what he did. And then God spoke through Isaiah. He says, is it not good? It's not good if peace and truth be in thy days, in my day. So what happened? He was content because no damage or destruction was going to come in his days, but it was going to come in the future with your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren. Well, this was all fulfilled 115 years later to the T, up to the letter. And so we see that he was only concerned about himself and not about his family or the future. This is where our country's at right now, so much that we're doing. We're not concerned about the next generation and the next generation after that, what we're putting in place today. And so we can learn things from the Word of God where they failed and we don't want to fail. Amen. And here he was. He brought this wicked king in and showed him all the treasures that God had given him. It's incredible.
That's right. That's right. And it's interesting, you know, when he dies, another king takes place, Manasseh.
Right. So he casted pearls before a swine.
And he was wicked.
That's right.
Did he pick up on the wicked stuff that his dad did? Or, you know, or did he follow the righteousness? The Bible says he was wicked.
That's right.
He was evil in the sight of the Lord.
And the other interesting thing, he was given 15 more years. During that 15 years, he had a son come by the name of Manasseh.
That's what
he was the worst king that was ever. He was terrible. I know. I just want them to emphasize this with him, okay?
Right. Amen. Well, this is Pastor Gene and Donna Hilton, and we have just run out of time.
Boy, it goes by so fast.
If you'd like to have the copy of this, or you want to know more information about our church, you can give us a call. We have services here in Stuart, Florida on Sunday and also on Friday and sometimes on Saturday. So give us a call. We'd be glad to help you or send you a calendar of this month. And I'm going to give the phone number. It's area code 772-285-7007. That's area code 772-285-7007.
Amen. So as we remind you as we close, have a prophetic mind when you read the Word of God and think about what's going on. So as we close this program, we tell you every week we're on here because we love people. We want to see the standard raised. And what do we say, Pastor Donna?
Shabbat shalom, Sabbath peace, and rest.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at the same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives. And remember that Jesus is Lord and that He is the Spirit of prophecy.